الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن سيدنا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكذلك جعلناكم أمة وسطا لتكونوا شهداء على الناس ويكون الرسول عليكم شهيدا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم.
If a person indulged themselves in parties, consumed great levels of alcohol, wiped out his parents or his wealth due to gambling, although we may object to that behavior, generally as parents, more often than not, we remain optimistic regarding this youth. Also, we would state regarding this individual, well, he is young, she is young, he is only 17, 18, 19. There is a long way for this individual to change, and we remain optimistic regarding this individual who has embarked on a journey of destruction of him or herself. Yet if a person was to pray, seek a place of worship in school, a sister that wishes to adorn or place upon herself certain types of what we may view as traditional clothing, this sister will be viewed not just by non-Muslims, but sometimes Muslims from our community as a fundamentalist. Yet a woman that wears provocative clothing, despite her wearing it in the middle of winter, for a class that may take place 7 o'clock in the morning, merely to attract a teacher for a good grade, such an individual is not looked upon as a deviant or as a person that is attempting to entice individuals on a wrongful pathway, but rather the individual that wishes to adorn themselves by a religious formula, such a person is viewed as a fundamentalist. I must say, my brothers and sisters, we are living in a contradictory time period. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And like that, or rather, thus, we have made you all a nation that is justly balanced. Before I continue further, it is not that Islam does not want women to look beautiful. Our topic is not on the aspect of hijab or covering the body in a particular manner. At the same time, it is not to rip apart those individuals that choose to dress provocatively under the guise of modernity whilst being in a state of non-religiosity. By contrast, if a person wishes to be a religious individual, be they Christian, Jew, Mormon, or any other religion that believes in the greatness of God, whom Muslims call Allah, then we are called upon to live a life of a higher level of accountability. That is why as Muslims, the Quran says, we have made you an ummah that is justly balanced. And this balance articulates itself in areas of drinking, what we drink and how we drink, eating, what we eat and how we eat, exercising, places we utilize to gain and regain and recuperate or improve our health, and the list goes on. The Quran continues in this given ayah, In the second surah of the Quran, ayah 143, and never would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make your faith of no effect upon yourself and those around. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon every entity, Allah remains most kind and most merciful. So we must not think for a moment that if we live a deviant life, that mercy of Allah will automatically be turned towards hatred. And if hatred does not come towards us, then we have the right to be a deviant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an extension of a rope for one purpose, so we can appreciate our current existence and we can eventually turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do the right thing. This is the belief of every religion, more so every religion that chooses moderation for its people. It is the Islamic belief that every religion existed in moderation in its purest form. However, extremism came to existence, and extremism, or the fundamentalistic behavior, is a behavior that continues to change in its definition throughout time. Who was a fundamentalist and what was a fundamentalist last year may not be viewed as a fundamentalist yesterday. And yesterday's fundamentalist may be viewed as a liberal individual today. It all depends on the agenda of the religious class, the political class, and individuals that are consumed regarding the various aspects of materialism. In fact, if we were to evaluate Christian lifestyle, the Quran says the following: ثُمَّ قَفَّيْنَا عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ بِرُسُلِنَا وَقَفَّيْنَا بِعِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran that various individuals were sent down. Nuh alayhi salam was sent down, Ibrahim alayhi salam was sent down, Ismail alayhi salam was sent down. All these various messengers in Islam are viewed as correct messengers and individuals that were guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide humanity towards the right path. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have also sent Isa alayhi salam, the son of the Virgin Mary. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have bestowed upon him the gospel. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is setting up the stage by stating that as far as Isa alayhi salam is concerned, he was a genuine prophet. Now the reason why I am sharing this data with you is that many individuals look at sometimes the Christian and the Jews out there, look at the manner in which they present themselves, and we say, wow, they are liberal. And we are the ones that are fundamentalistic in comparison to them. As a matter of fact, the Quran says, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُ رَأْفَةً وَرَحْمَةً. Those individuals that followed Isa alayhi salam, as well as in the life of Isa alayhi salam, be it Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ismail alayhi salam, and the various other prophets, these individuals were given a great level of mercy and compassion. However, وَرَهْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَعُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَّا ابْتِغَاءَ رِضْوَانِ اللَّهِ. There was a group of individuals from the Christian sector that they became what is known as Rahbaniya. Rahbaniya are like those monk-like individuals, even though the intention was good. Initially, they wanted to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the manner in which they went about to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was wrongful in nature. And what they began doing was they began isolating themselves to such an extent that they began to separate themselves from the people in general. And they began creating tremendous amount of hardship upon themselves by new things they began prescribing, which was in reality what we can call fundamentalistic. So on the one hand, you begin to see a group of people that are becoming highly rigid in their approach. On the other hand, as a token of showing animosity towards that behavior, although we will not say those individuals that were opposed to this austere, this monk-like life, these individuals that were not really antagonistic towards them began doing things that were opposed to the manner in which these monks began to function. So on the one hand, you get a monk, and this monk is very rigid in his or her approach. If they are monks, then they are male. If they are nuns, then they are the female version. And in opposition to that, you begin to see the Christian class beginning to do the exact opposite of these individuals, such as wearing provocative clothing like that of that which exposes the body in a wrongful manner. So on the one hand, you get a group of people that want to do good, but they trespass the boundaries and they go into doing too much good. Now one will say, is there such a thing as doing too much good? Yes, in Islam, if a person trespasses the boundaries, for example, by reading Quran to such an extent that they become neglectful of the responsibility of their families, then we in Islam can say that you are doing so much good that that good is hurting you, and as a result of you not taking the rights of your family in consideration, although it may perceptually seem that you are doing good, but in reality you are destroying yourself. Likewise, if a person wants to give all their wealth in charity, perceptually it may look like that person is doing good, but in reality that individual is destroying his or her family. So Islam, as we can see, is a religion of balance. It wants you to do good, but not so much good that you become, or your family repulses you as a result of doing what we will view as doing too much good. In reflecting upon the life of Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawood alayhi salam, the Christians know them as Solomon and David, peace be upon them both, as well as their respective families. Now these two individuals were given profound levels of success. In fact, Sulaiman alayhi salam had control over the winds, and he could place people on his carpet, and he could take them from one point to the other. In today's time, we need to buy airline tickets, we need to negotiate, we need to bargain, we got to pay taxes, we got to get our passport stamped so that we could get approval into a certain country. And the list goes on and on. This does not include being interrogated as a result of you being a Muslim, as a result of national security at our local airports and the various airports of the world. I am not opposed to that. These individuals work very hard, and we bless them for the good that they're doing for humanity and society in general. Now, there was no pollution regarding when Sulaiman alayhi salam used to travel from one point to the next. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sulaiman alayhi salam was very, very great. And this applies to Dawood alayhi salam as well. Islam, in setting the tone of moderation, not just from the Islamic perspective itself, but taking the example of other prophets as well, the Prophet of Islam said, if you want Jannah, and Jannah is what you seek to attain, then the manner in which you can attain it is through the example of these various prophets. And how is it that can be attained to the various prophets? Well, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the following: when you get angry, then be balanced in your anger. And if you are to be happy, then be balanced in your happiness as well. But you know, today's time, when a man gets angry, they even praise his anger. And it's counterproductive to the Islamic system. When a man gets angry, you know, he picks up his sleeves, He rolls up his sleeves. Sometimes he tears open his shirt and people say, wow, you know, that man got anger. In fact, the man when he gets angry, and generally this is a man, a manly trait, I don't say it's a manly trait in a positive manner, but when he gets angry, he rips open his shirt, he rolls up his sleeves, and he beats up someone. And you say, my brother, why did you do that? He says, I was angry. And when people talk about his anger, what they say, man, when he gets angry, he rips up, opens his shirt, and he goes towards his prey. In other words, he looks at the person he beats up like a piece of meat or animal. Now, on the other hand, when a person gets very happy, the father gets very jubilant that the daughter is getting married, what does he say? Here's the credit card, my daughter, go to town and shop and do whatever you got to do. Islam is against this behavior. Islam, when you get angry, it appreciates your anger, but it does not want you to trespass the boundaries of other people. It does not want you to get violent. It wants you to be composed even at the time of anger. Likewise, when you are happy, you don't just throw out your credit card. Rather, you want your daughter to be happy and you want her to be balanced in as far as showing her moments of happiness, be it in aspects of graduation of college or for that matter regarding her marriage. The second thing it says, be moderate when you are wealthy as well as when you are poor. So one is be balanced when you are angry as well as when you are happy. The second is be balanced in aspects of your wealth as well as in moments of your poverty. When you have wealth, do not go overboard. When you are poor, do not become such that you become depressed and you cannot function any further. Then after the third point to attain paradise is that you must fear Allah in privacy as well as in public. Now many brothers, when the month of Ramadan comes, they like to come out and pray. And that is Alhamdulillah, and I appreciate that, and I'm sure Allah appreciates that as well. But my brother, when you pray in public, then you also have a demand placed upon you, and this applies to my sisters there as well, that you must also take pride in praising Allah and worshipping Allah in privacy as well. So just as you and I enjoy praising in public and attaining the necessary glory and praise of praying in public, we are also reminded that we must take part in the same motion and method of prayer in private as well. So what we learn, that we cannot be like certain individuals that just go to church on certain days and make a spectacle of their prayer, that make it seem that prayer is only to impress the congregation, the male, the female. So some people say they go to pray in church so they can pick up on the opposite gender. That's not Islam. In Islam, you don't go to pray to pick up on people. You go to pray so you can remember Allah, you can remember your obligations towards humanity and do the right thing. Likewise, we are called upon to pray in private. And there is no better prayer than when a man and woman pray together in privacy and Allah says, you are remembering me in privacy, I will forgive your sins and I will give you recognition by awarding you a great paradise. Also, my brothers and sisters in Islam, we learn something very important. True faith demands balance. And a balance is to be in how we walk. For example, when we walk from one point to another, we must not walk like we are arrogant. You know, some people have to put on a certain dress or a certain suit or put on a certain level of high heels so that way it makes a certain sound so people can gain attraction towards him or her. No, that's not Islam. Islam, when it says when you eat, eat in balance. One third water for the stomach, one third food for the stomach, and one third air for the stomach. Likewise, when we talk in a manner of love and compassion. When we talk regarding matters of faith, we are not rigid in our presentation of it. When we spend time with our family, it's not all about our mother or all about our father. It's about our mother, It's about our father. It's about our husband. It's about our wife. It's about our brother. It's about our sister. It's about our daughter. It's about our parents. In other words, we have to set out time for each one, and friends as well. You know, the Jews, when they used to, when the women folk would get the menses, it would be stated, and this is nothing bad about the Jews or good about the Jews, we are just talking about how balance functions. We spoke about the Christians earlier. Now let's be fair and talk about our counterparts, our Jewish brethren. And we learn something very important from them. And I say learn because we take solace that our religion is not so difficult upon us. When the Jews used to have menses, when the woman used to go through a menstruation, immediately the man would separate from the wife. And if the menses touched an article of clothing, then immediately that clothing would have to be cut up. When you look at Islam, it is totally different. It says menses and menstruation is part of a woman's cycle and existence. And we men are told, you don't just separate from her. You can still sleep with her, you can enjoy her, she can enjoy you. But one thing you will not do is take part in sexual relations between yourself and her. Likewise, of course, you can kiss her, you can hug her, but anything from the navel to the knee, you will prevent yourself from taking part in. Likewise, if the menses, you know, a woman bleeds in that time period, and if the blood went onto the clothing, whether it's yours or hers, then you don't have to cut that clothing out. Islam being a moderation, what it states, wash that article of clothing, and once it is washed 3 times properly, you can thereafter enjoy yourself with that clothing, you can wait, etc. So what we learn, Islam, contrary to what the media may claim, contrary to what you and I may do, and some of us Muslims make mistakes as well, we learn Islam is a balanced religion, whether it's regarding worship or for that matter regarding our interaction between ourselves and those around us. And finally, my respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we all learn one thing very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala despises 4 things very greatly. I repeat, Allah despises 4 things very greatly. One is you forget that your sins are being documented. And one of the worst things you can do is look at the sins of others and not your own sins. When you look at the sins of others, you are acting as if your sins have been erased. And in Islam, that is the height of arrogance. So Allah loves one to remember the sins that they have committed. I'm not saying become depressed by your sins. Yes, we believe that Allah is merciful and Allah will forgive us. But at the same time, we must not mock others when they do wrongful things, whether they are Christians, Jews, Mormons, or whoever they are. Number 2, we must not talk great about our deeds as if we are more superior to others with this in mind, that our deeds have been accepted. Yes, we are positive. We do good things. But we cannot become so arrogant that we think that all our deeds are accepted, so therefore we can demean other groups out there. This is wrong. In Islam, we have this belief that I'm doing good and I wish that Allah accepts my good. And at the same time, when we look at others doing bad things, wrongful things, we must say to ourselves, may Allah prevent me from doing wrongful things. And at the same time, pray for that other person, whether they are Jews, Christians, Mormons, etc. Number 3, we must not look at the wealth of others and not appreciate what Allah has given us. Allah loves the person that appreciates whatever their condition may be, whether it is a condition of wealth or whether it is the condition of poverty. You know, there are some institutions out there that spend a lot of money on their churches. and they look down upon those churches that are, or Islamic societies for that matter, that are not good as theirs. That is counterproductive to Islam. We must appreciate our wealth, we must appreciate our environment, and never look down upon other individuals or other societies or people out there. And number four, we must never frown upon an individual that is lower than us. We must not say, you are lower than me, therefore you are scum. What we must say is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me a position, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and my faith demands that I will treat every individual out there with the appropriate respect. Today I have spoken about Islam. Islam is a religion of moderation, whether it is in aspects of anger or happiness, whether it's in aspects of wealth or poverty, whether it is in aspects of prayer, be it prayer in private or for that matter prayer in public. I've also proven to you that there is no such a thing as us viewing ourselves as more superior to others. We must not forget our sins, and we must not ever demean others as a result of positive change in our lives. We must talk good of ourselves and talk good of others. We must look and appreciate everything that has come our way, and never frown upon any individual, including that of individuals that are what we may perceive as lower than us. No individual is lower than us, but we must not even perceive others as lower than us. And we must not become like various other groups out there that we are rigid. When something happened, they had to cut the fabric out. No, we are not that way. Likewise, we cannot become like the Christian groups out there that sort of segregate themselves from the population under the guise, although they are well-intentioned. But this is something that as Muslims we should frown upon, in this sense that we must not isolate ourselves from other groups that are wanting to be close to us at all times. Our idea should be to share the best and do the best for ourselves and those around us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us moderation, take us away from various rigid behaviors. As I said, moderation has a definition, and the definition continues to change. Likewise, extremism and fundamentalism also has a definition. This definition continues to change at times. We have to look at it from the pure perspective of our faith. And rest assured, if we did that, we will attain tremendous amount of good, not only for ourselves, but our society at large. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَلِلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ